Hey guys, welcome back to Caffeine and Crime. I have a new episode for you guys this week. Finally. I hope you guys are staying nice and cozy. From where I am at, the weather really is chilling down and getting very wintry, which I'm not a big fan of. I'm like, I need a little bit more fall, but Christmas is already right around the corner, so I guess it would be nice to have a white Christmas. I hope you guys are all doing good, though. You're going to be seeing more of me for sure, but I just wanted to kind of say that. I know you guys are going to get tired of me saying happy holidays and talking about holidays in general, so it's the start of things. But here on Caffeine and Crime, we are still in spooky season, and today's episode, I think, is a pretty interesting one. I wouldn't say this one is as haunting as it is just very weird. There's a lot of weird things about this particular place we're talking about today, which is the Denver International Airport. There is a lot of conspiracy theories around this airport, and just a lot of tragic, weird things have happened at this airport. So I feel like it's going to be an episode where we'll dive into that. There's, like I said, not a whole lot when it comes to like haunted or like paranormal places, because you have to kind of keep in mind that this is an airport. So I'm sure if it was more of like an abandoned airport, there would probably be a lot more activity going on there. But there's so much traffic in and out every single day for the past 26 years, because this airport opened up February 28th, 1995, 26 years ago. Crazy. My birthday is November 24th and I'm 26. So same year. At 33,531 acres, it is the largest airport in North America. It's the second largest in the world. The runway has a length of 16,000 feet, which is literally over 3 miles, and it is the longest public use runway in North America and the seventh longest in the world. The airport is 25 miles driving distance from downtown Denver, 19 miles further than the former Stapleton International Airport. Apparently, DIA, which is Denver International Airport, replaced Stapleton when it opened. Currently, it has nonstop service to 215 destinations amongst 23 different airlines throughout North America, Latin America, Europe, and Asia. It is the fourth airport in the U.S. to exceed 200 destinations. The airport is a hub for both United Airlines and Frontier Airlines and is one of the largest operating bases for Southwest Airlines. With over 35,000 employees, the airport is the largest employer in Colorado. The airport is located on the western edge of the Great Plains and within sight of the Front Range of the Rocky Mountains. Now, like any airline or any airport, there has been accidents and incidents. For instance, on September 5th, 2001, an airplane caught on fire while it was being refueled at the gate. None of the passengers or crew were injured, but the refueler servicing the aircraft died from his injuries 6 days after the fire. Apparently, the accident occurred due to a failure of the aircraft's refueling ring when the fuel hose was disconnected at an improper angle. On February 16, 2007, 14 aircraft suffered windshield failures within a 3.5-hour period at the airport. A total of 26 windshields on these aircrafts failed. There was an open investigation, and it determined that foreign object damage was the cause, possibly the sharp sand used earlier that winter for traction purposes combined with wind gusts of 48 miles per hour. Then on December 20th, 2008, a Continental airline operating as Flight 1404 to Houston Intercontinental Airport veered off the left side of the runway and caught fire during its takeoff roll at Denver International Airport. There was no snow or ice on the runway. However, there were 31 knot crosswinds at the time. Apparently, they were 36 miles per hour at the time of the accident. And on July 13, 2010, they came to the probable cause of this accident, and that it was the captain's cessation of right rudder input, if I'm saying that correctly, which was needed to maintain directional control of the airplane. Of the 115 people on board, at least 38 sustained injuries and at least two were critical. It is not said that there was any deaths involved. On April 3rd, 2012, an express jet Embraer operating as flight UAEV-5912 from Illinois to Denver was landing on 34R, which I'm assuming is like the runway, when the aircraft hit the approach lights and stopped on the runway. Smoke developed inside the aircraft and passengers were evacuated onto the runway. One passenger was taken to the hospital for treatment of his injuries. On February 20th, 2021, United Airlines Flight 328 was on its way from Denver to Honolulu, Hawaii, when it suffered engine damage just after takeoff and had to return to Denver International Airport. Debris from the damaged engine fell on a neighborhood in Bloomfield, a city near the airport. The damaged airplane landed safely on runway 26 and no injuries were reported. Thank God. So you can kind of see that's honestly not as many as you expect from an airline or an airport in 26 years. I would actually think to see a lot more than what, five incidents going on here. Now, take this as you will. This is Wikipedia, so there may be more, but this is what's been reported or put out there from news things that I have seen and that were all tallied up on Wikipedia. But yeah, I feel like that honestly isn't that bad considering this airport has been open for 26 years. I would have thought to have seen more, but we are not seeing like really like any deaths or anything like that really occurring here. Besides the man in the beginning in 2001 who was refueling and it wasn't angled properly, the hose was disconnected at an improper angle and he did die. And from the looks of it was 7 days later, so it kind of looks like something where he died in the hospital. A little bit more history or a little bit more about this place before we get into more of the strange things surrounding this area. For one, I'd like to point out that they have a place called Paradise for Paws, which I thought was really, really cute. And the actual, like, airport, there is, like, a hotel or resort for pets. Apparently, Paradise for Paws is a pet service company in Denver. They have two locations, and one is right in Denver International Airport. It is a luxury resort for pets. They have overnight accommodations for dogs, cats, and daycare, grooming, and spa, veterinarian care, and dog training services. Some dog suites even have flat-screen TVs and webcams for the owners to view them anytime they like. The cat bungalows have a customized environment for them. And it just says that your pet can also have a vacation while you're away and you can't take care of them. And I think that's so awesome. I've never heard of something like that before, like besides like actually going and like kenneling them, you know? But this is like bougie pet care on another whole level. But I just think that's so nice, like to actually take your animals with you while you're going to get on a flight and be able to leave them at the airport. They can just stay there and have the time of their lives as a boarding. It looks like there's like a pool and everything for them. Or you can actually sign them up for like classes and stuff while you're gone. So they're getting some training in as well. I just thought it was really cool. And then they're there when you get back home to pick up. It's like a one stop and done type of situation. They also had this automated baggage system. And I haven't really seen too much about this, but their idea was to reduce delays in airports, and they thought it could be done by having a computerized baggage system. And apparently the design of it was really good. People thought it was impressive and that it would do a lot for the airport and the passengers, but it never became a thing. The system was supposed to cut on wait times, delays, and reduce airline labor costs. But instead of all of those, the airport suffered losses of up to hundreds of millions of dollars by the construction of it. But then for the maintenance, the modifications, and repairs, and they eventually just had to shut it down due to cost. They say it was a good idea, but maybe more so down the line. Another thing that I've loved to see, and I don't know if this is a thing all over the place, but Denver actually has either CATS or CATS, Canine Airport Therapy Squad, And it's actually a organization that brings trained therapy dogs to help offer a little bit of love to passengers or people just waiting in the airport that maybe are already starting to have a little bit of an anxiety flare before jumping on the plane. And I just thought that was so sweet. Maybe like if a kid's a little scared about their first plane ride or whatever the case may be, I just think that is so awesome. They stroll along the airport crowd and just are there if anybody needs them. Apparently, there is also an ice skating rink in the airport year after year since 2016. There is a part in the airport that's dedicated to ice skating. In the spirit of the holiday season, it sets up a free ice skating rink. Passengers can head on to the Denver Plaza from 9 in the morning until 9 in the evening and pass the time by hitting the ice free of charge. The rink is bigger and better. One can even chance on performances and special appearances. It's a nice project by Denver International Airport, something any other regular airport has not thought of and are really scratching their heads saying, that's a great idea. I feel like it's more so a great idea for being in the Denver area where it gets really cold, and I feel like it's more spot on for them. Obviously, it won't be for everyone, but I do think it's a really awesome idea to like kill time if there is delays or anything like that. And to like keep your little ones busy. Apparently, there's other shopping places as well. I have obviously never been to Denver International Airport. But although Denver International Airport sounds like this amazing one that a lot of people would want to choose over others, there's a lot of sketchy things going on here. We're going to first dive into the secret societies that a lot of people have conspiracy theories on that are controlling this area and are controlling DIA. One of the biggest conspiracy theories is that the airport was built by members of a secret society. Some believe it was the Freemasons, one of the world's oldest secular fraternal organizations dating back to the stonemason lodges of the 14th century. Some think it's the Illuminati, a short-lived Enlightenment era secret society that some insist is still active, or the New World Order. An alleged cabal of global elites conspiring to overthrow existing governments and rule the world. Some also think it's all of the above. The most evidence that we have of this theory is a capstone at the airport's south entrance dated March 19th, 1994, a year before this place opened. Sealed beneath the stone is a time capsule containing messages and memorabilia to the people of Colorado in 2094. The granite marker has a square and compass symbol of the Freemasons and the names of two Grand Lodges and their Grand Masters. But airport officials say it's only evidence of the generosity of the local society that crafted and laid the stone. The capstone also makes mention of a group called the New World Airport Commission. Unlike the Freemasons, this group doesn't actually exist, making its conclusion a little tougher to explain. And as some like to point out, the name is suspiciously close to that of the so-called New World Order. According to a Westwood article in 2007, the name is likely a reference to composer Antonin New World Symphony, and the New World Airport Commission was simply a temporary commission created to arrange the new airport's opening festivities. So the time capsule is supposedly filled with coins, a baseball from Coors Field, a pair of former Denver Mayor Wellington Webb sneakers, a few Black Hawk casino tokens, and other memorabilia. Apparently some have already tried getting into it. But the world will have to wait and see in 2094. Above the dedication stone, there is also a Braille tablet. And some think it's actually a keypad and that if you touch the raised dots in the correct sequence, you'll be able to open the time capsule. Even some current Masons seem to buy into this myth. And one airport employee says she's heard reports of Masons visiting the capstone and trying to swap their collects membership cards into their society near the time capsule just in case to see if it would work. So that's the lighthearted conspiracy with this place. But did you know that Denver International Airport has underground bunkers, endless tunnels, and apparently had a visit from the lizard people? Please hang with me here. The legend is that there are miles of underground tunnels and layer upon layer of secret buildings and bunkers beneath the airport, which the members of secret societies plan to use to ride out the coming apocalypse. Some claim there's a tunnel that runs all the way from Denver International to the North American Aerospace Defense Command, which is located 100 miles away near Colorado Springs. Others think that the underground layer may be a home to something supernatural, like extraterrestrials or lizard people. Some people have went as far to think that after seeing Jordan Peele's 2019 horror film Us, that the tunnels beneath the airport could house a community of murderous doppelgangers ready to rise out from under the earth and take over the surface. The airport acknowledges that there are several levels beneath the main terminal, including the train that carries passengers to and from different concourses and a large automated baggage system, the one we talked about earlier that they no longer use. But they say the tunnels only extend out to the edges of the airport, less than 2 miles. They also insist that you are much more likely to meet mundane office workers than billionaires and ceremonial robes, since some of the underground levels host work and office spaces. And they say any evidence of space aliens is just graffiti from mischievous employees, some of whom have been known to don lizard masks to prank unsuspecting co-workers and members of the media. That leads me to, what about the apocalyptic artwork? While many suppose secrets are encased in granite or buried deep underground, others are right out in the open for all of us to see. Two pieces of art in particular have drawn plenty of interest, a pair of 28-foot-wide murals by artist Leo Hengyuma. One section of Children of the World, Dream of Peace shows scenes of war and death, angered by a gas-masked soldier wielding both a sword and a machine gun, while the other has happy children from around the world dressed in colorful traditional clothing and laying down their weapons beneath a rainbow of peace. One section of the Peace and Harmony with Nature shows children mourning the death of 3 women and extinction of numerous animals as the environment burns in the background, while the other section of the mural illustrates the children of the world coming together to rehabilitate and celebrate nature. The pieces express the artist's hopeful desire for the people of the world to live in peace with one another and harmony with nature, but others have been more focused on the anti-themes of war, death, pollution, and environmental destruction, claiming that the artwork contains clues and messages about the apocalypse and the inevitable rise of the takeover world government. Another artwork that has raised eyebrows is part of Alex Sweetman's Art Chronicles, a photographic series documenting the construction of the airport. Although many of the photo murals capture serene scenes, a bison standing in a snowy meadow, a field of vibrant yellow sunflowers reaching to the sky, one photo of a field of dead browning sunflowers can leave some feeling a bit unsettled. It is another coded message about the looming apocalypse hidden in the airport's artwork. Or just an ode to the changing seasons. We can't forget the grinning gargoyles. Compared to Ma's giant colorful murals and Sweetman's large-scale photos, you may miss the two small gargoyles set atop columns in the east and west baggage claim areas. Historically, gargoyles are added to buildings to protect the people inside from evil spirits. Well, this pair, collectively titled Notre Denver, is no different. Grinning down on arriving passengers, they are there to help ensure the safe arrival of luggage. Although gargoyles have been a part of religious architecture for centuries, most famously on the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, for which Denver International's Guard Girls are named, some visitors have viewed the pair as evil rather than noble protectors. Now, I'm kind of right there with you. I may have not, you know, hit a nerve just yet. This may just be a fun little history lesson for you if you didn't know much about Denver International Airport. But this next one will probably send some chills down your spine and give you some goosebumps on your arms like it did for me. It's about the cursed horse. And this article says Denver International Airport legends would not be complete without the mention of the most controversial and storied piece of art. It's the 32-foot tall sculpture of a blue horse rearing up on its hind legs right above the boulevard leading to the Denver International Airport. It's officially titled Mustang, but most people in Denver know him by his demonic-sounding nickname, Blucifer, since this massive horse is blue in color. And with its red glowing eyes and a mane that looks more like Medusa's snakes than any horse's hair we've seen, Blucifer is already a frightening sight, but his history adds an extra layer of intrigue. See, Blucifer was created by artist Luis Jim Inez, and Mustang was commissioned in the mid-90s and inspired by the bright colors and themes of famed Mexican muralist like Diego Rivera, Jose Clemente Orozco. He grew up working in his father's sign-making shop and went on to receive acclaim during his 30 years as an artist. He's best known for his large fiberglass sculptures. A lot of his were color-splashed images of swirling dancers, roughneck cowboys in motion, and the working class made him a controversial and easily recognized international figure in the art world. He was born in El Paso in 1940, moved to New York in 1966, then to return to New Mexico in the early 1970s. He grew major attention, positive and negative, in 1983 when neighbors in an old town district in Albuquerque objected to a sculpture of a Native American caressing a dying woman, saying that it resembled a rape. More recently, he completed a sculpture of firefighters for the city of Cleveland. He is also the creator of the sculpture Man on Fire in Washington, D.C. Vecuro, I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but it's the Bronco rider atop a shimmering metallic blue horse, and it sits outside a museum, and that's kind of what inspired Blucifer, or also known as Mustang. Unfortunately, Mustang, or Blucifer, would be his very last sculpture. He was pronounced dead at the Lincoln County Medical Center in southern New Mexico. He sustained injuries when one of the three pieces from a 32-foot-high sculpture, being Blucifer, was being moved from a studio, and it came loose and pinned him against a steel support. This piece was commissioned by Denver International Airport, a giant Mustang horse, and had been in development for nearly a decade. How tragic. I cannot imagine working on your biggest masterpiece yet, over a decade of work, for it to come crumbling down and killing you. That is so devastating. Between the tragic backstory and the menacing visual of Blucifer, it has been a target of myth makers since he was placed, with many insisting that he's cursed. Some even claim that his glowing red eyes indicate that he represents one of the steeds that will be ridden by the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Although the artist himself said they were simply meant to honor the wild spirit of the West. There are so many other myths and legends connected to the airport. There's a mining cart carved into the tile of the Great Hall and adorned are the letters AU and AG, the atomic symbols for gold and silver. Some think it's an abbreviation for an Australian Antigon, a deadly chemical weapon that the Illuminati will use to secure power over humankind. The coordinates of the location of the airport were given to its architects by space aliens is another one. Strange markings on the walls and buildings are codes from members of secret societies or snippets of an unknown alien or otherworldly language. Other organizations might try to distance themselves from such tall tales, but the marketing team at Denver International Airport has leaned into the legends. A few years ago, they actually hosted a museum-style gallery, Conspiracy Theories Uncovered, celebrating some of the airport's most notables. It included an alien skull that was made by employees and planted during construction of the Westin Denver International Airport Hotel. Most recently, it has capitalized on the mythical past with a series of ads. One shows Lucifer red laser beams shooting out of his eyes with the tagline, "Are we creating the world's greatest airport or prepping for the end of the world?" Another one pictures one of the gargoyles and the Transportation Security Administration scanner and asks, "Streamline security or more secrets?" Others have space aliens, a lizard person, mysterious tunnels, even a cat and a tinfoil hat, and all hashtagged Denfiles. A play on the X-Files TV show, and it urged viewers to learn the truth at denfiles.com. The truth? It's a marketing campaign for Den's Great Hall Project, a large-scale area under the tents of the airport terminal. And that leaves us with, are any of these conspiracy theories true? Are they trying to downplay it and make it more of a guessing game? Are they trying to cover up things? Are they trying to make it a little bit more lighthearted so we don't look into it as so much like, okay, maybe we're just going crazy. Maybe none of these like really add up. Because honestly, that's what it does for me. The more research I've done on this, I feel like if anything, it's debunked a lot for me. And I'm like, what are these people getting at? I'm sure there's a lot more that I don't know. And if you do know more, please send it to me. You can find me on Instagram at Caffeine Crime Podcast. Just send me a message there. I would love to chat with you if you have any information, if you've been at this airport, or if you have ever noticed anything strange there. I would love to know. But also just in general, what do you guys think? Are you guys like me and just think a lot of this is just debunked conspiracy theories? They're fun to like read about. They're fun to like deep dive in and explore, learn more about. And of course, the history is there, but I don't know. It is always like strange whenever the places actually start leaning into it and are like, yeah, you know, like making fun of it or making like jokes of it. Because sometimes it is like, do they think people are starting to take it too seriously? So they have to kind of do some PR work to like, you know, play along with it, to downplay it. I don't know. It's so strange. And it's also the fact that so many people believe so many of these conspiracy theories, and like they believe that they have seen hard evidence of it. So it's just crazy to me. Please let me know what you guys think. I know this episode's a little bit different. Next week, we'll be back with a very haunting episode. I promise. More paranormal activity. But until then, I hope you guys enjoyed this little history venture down Denver International Airport. Thank you for tuning in and listening. I really appreciate it. I also would appreciate it if you guys would go follow me on Instagram at Caffeine Crime Podcast. And while you're at it, go check out our YouTube. I have been uploading as much as I possibly can lately. I'm uploading 2 past seasons over there. So if you love checking out different paranormal videos on YouTube or even true crime videos on YouTube, I would highly suggest checking it out, hitting subscribe while you're there, and liking the videos as you watch them. Thank you guys again, and I will see you guys next week. Think you problem solver, well, then fucking